Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Folks, we've seen the videos on the news. It's become a growing problem when police are making an arrest or working at crime scenes where bystanders acting out bolder and bolder and not keeping their distance, being a disruptive force in the course of the duties that the law enforcement agent is engaged in. And as a result, State Representative Mike Johnson from District 27, he represents Rapides Parish up there in Pineville, joins us. He's introduced a bill, House Bill number 85, to address this. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So, Mike, tell us what brought this filing of this bill. Did law enforcement officials approach you, or is just something that you saw happening and unfolding, on the news every day?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I have seen the same things you have seen and your listeners have seen, where there have been situations that maybe started off as a simple investigation that escalates, and in ways that were dangerous for the police officer, dangerous for a bystander that approaches a police officer, and even dangerous for the person that's being investigated. So I approached several of the police, and the Fraternal Order of the Police came forth with this suggestion that we have put together. And it is I hope it's a good solution. It doesn't invade on the public's rights, but it's just kind of a common sense a law that hopefully makes it safer for everybody involved.
And as I understand, and I know a lot of the details will be backfilled in during the course of working its way through the state legislature, but you violate only after, unless and until, an officer actually has ordered you to stop approaching them at a crime scene or otherwise, right?
Correct. And it has to be a lawful, action on the police officer. He has to request, please stay back. And at that point, if you invade into that 25-foot buffer zone, then you're in violation of a misdemeanor law. And I think some folks oppose the idea because they think that it in some way restricts the public. I don't see it that way. I see it as really defining the authority of the police, because in the past, the police officer may have said, get back. What does that mean? This clearly defines about a 25-foot buffer. And, there are those that want to shout at a police officer or those that want to videotape it. This law doesn't prevent that, and I don't think it even discourages that. It just simply creates a safety zone of a reasonable amount of space around the police.
I think about it as it relates to the average size of a frontage of a residential lot down here in Jefferson Parish, 50 feet, half of that distance. Obviously, right. The video on your camera or pictures on your camera can easily capture what's going on from that distance, right?
Yeah, you can videotape the whiskers on a kitty cat from 25 feet. I mean, it's not like it's going to in any way prevent you from if a police officer's acting in an inappropriate way, you still have, in addition to the body cam and the video cam in the car, you can videotape, and it doesn't it doesn't impede that, I guess, what some people consider a right to do.
Yeah. Mike, you know, in law enforcement, our arrests are only as good as the DA's prosecution. Do you anticipate the DA support of this bill?
I hope so. I would think so. Not that it necessarily deals directly with prosecution, but, you know, if a police officer can concentrate on the matter at hand and not be concerned about someone over his shoulder, I'm thinking that if it's a legitimate stop and has a legitimate basis for arrest, it's going to be less. I think the police officer will be less inclined to make a mistake or something that would make it more difficult to prosecute. So I can't see why the district attorneys would not support this legislation. And I really hope the general public will support it. I know there's always a jump. I know when this first came out, I believe ACLU had concerns about it, but I don't really understand. I don't see anything in this that should raise any red flags for anyone.
Yeah. You know, in a perfect world, if you were able to put up a wall, you know, 25 feet away to prevent folks from going on, you know, from intruding in that space, there's a lot of things that police officers do and find necessary to do that is strictly related to speed. Speed of being able to get the individual under control, this, that, because they, right. You know, they're typically outnumbered at a number of scenes, and it's a big concern for that safety. In, like I said, in the perfect scenario, if you could eliminate those threats, there are a lot of other things that officers could deploy in trying to, get control of an offender.
Right.
You know, and really creates more options.
Right. And think about, try to put yourself in the place of the police officer. I have a vehicle that I've pulled over. Okay, I'm going to walk up to that vehicle, and quite frankly, the police tell me whoever's in that car is in much stronger a position to do the policeman harm than the policeman can as they approach the car. I'm trying to concentrate on the person in the car. Someone comes up behind me. Now, all of a sudden, if I'm the police officer, my anxiety level is going to be raised. I'm going to be more anxious relative to the person in the car, the person approaching, and quite frankly, that really does put the police officer in great danger, but it also puts the other parties in, I think, in an elevated level of danger. And, the whole point is to diffuse that. And I think 25 feet is not very far. And it at least gives him some command of the situation, at least temporarily.
I know that you must feel very strongly about this fiscal session. You're limited to five bills. Those five bills are, that's a number. I'm sure you got people beating on you every day. You know?
Yeah, but, it might be good for government if we were limited to five bills every year.
Every year.
It might be a good thing because then it cuts out some of the time wasting that we sometimes do on what may not be great legislation.
Yeah, I think the public would probably support you in that initiative,
yeah,
for sure.
I think they would be happy with us going in every other year, and they may have a good point. Less government might be a good thing, but yeah. You're right. We have five bills, and they can be additional. If you have tax bills, like I have, I also have a bill that I'm looking for assistance on it with volunteer firemen. Those guys, they don't get paid anything, and they do it at their own expense. And it may not be a problem in New Orleans, but in rural areas, we're relying upon volunteer fire departments completely. And a lot of young folks are busy. We seem to have more to do, more responsibilities. We're having a hard time getting people to volunteer. So I've sponsored a bill that says that if you're willing to be a volunteer fireman, and do it for a year, go through the training at your expense, then you would qualify for a $1,000 tax credit. And all I'm trying to do is get people to be inclined to at least do something that their personal expenses would be offset. And it becomes an insurance issue also, because those areas that don't have an adequate fire
rating
protection rating, they either can't get insurance or the cost is so high it's prohibitive. So that is a fiscal matter. So that doesn't count as one of my five bills. But that's an example of some of the things that, that we're bringing this year and hoping to get support.
And good for you for thinking about that, because a lot of times we in the urban areas don't really, although we, like in Jefferson Parish, the West Bank is entirely volunteer fire companies. We have a paid fire right. company on the East Bank, which is, you know, a little odd that you got, you know, volunteer on one yeah. side of the parish and paid on the other. But, you know, we don't really recognize in the rural areas how important volunteer fire companies are day right. in and day out.
Yeah, and it's not like on television where, you know, they ring a bell and people come running from their homes to be firemen. You have to be trained. Right. You have to go through training throughout the year. It is a major commitment for anybody that wants to do it. And it's a great thing, because I can't think of anything more deserving and worthy. But you know, you want to talk about Americana. I mean, that is the truest sense of public service for people that are willing to do that. And so, yeah, I mean, $1,000. If we don't find a way to get volunteer firemen, what's going to happen is that we're going to wind up having to find a way to pay people, and it's going to be much more expensive than this tax credit.
Yeah.
And so this is trying to keep that going, and I hope it works if we can get it passed.
Well, I'm so disappointed to hear from you that Mayberry's not real. I watch it all the time.
Well, I got to tell you, Pineville, Louisiana, where I'm from, is as close to Mayberry as you can come from. I mean, our mayor's not named Andy, but you know, you can always drop in, and we do have a little courthouse, and you know, so if anybody's looking for Mayberry, they can head to Central Louisiana, and we can find a close facsimile of that desired community that you may be looking for.
The last thing you need is me there to screw it up, my friend.
Well, you'd have mean it. With that accent, we would have immediately know you were a visitor and try to make you feel at home.
There you go. Thank you so much for joining us, Representative Mike Johnson. We appreciate the time, the insight. We appreciate the bill as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All righty, folks. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870. When we return, we'll visit with Ralph Brandt, chairman of the Jefferson Parish School Board. They've announced a series of school closures and consolidation, and we'll work our way through that when we return. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
With shrinking numbers as to enrollment, the Jefferson Parish School Board embarked upon a study to see how they could best react to this moving into the future, making sure that they could create efficiencies. And they announced the results of their study last evening, and they will vote on this in the upcoming Jefferson Parish School Board meeting. The chairman of the Jefferson Parish School Board joins us, Ralph Brandt. Ralph, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Noel. Glad to be with you.
Ralph, we've seen this move afoot across the country where we've seen declining numbers in enrollment in public school systems, and it compels you and your board members and the administration, having the fiduciary obligation to manage all of this, to take some action. So tell us about what it is that y'all are doing.
Well, back in our February meeting, we voted as a board to bring in Myers Engineering and MGT Consultants to basically update a report that they had produced for the school board back in 2017 with the Hill Group. And so they were charged with looking at the data, engaging with the public to see, you know, what the public saw in our schools and what they envisioned for the schools. We looked at what things that we needed as a school system to remain relevant and bring our students into the 21st century, trying to provide equity in our program opportunities, you know, to the best level that we could. Did they develop options for us, you know, to address the needs of our system? And they made recommendations to us at last night's meeting, which we have moved to the April 5th agenda, so that we'll have public comment. We will vote on the plan at that time.
And I think a lot of what, and you and I have discussed this before, a lot of what the report revealed is a complete underutilization of some of the campuses and then overutilization of others.
Right. You know, that was one of the things, is that they, the consultants used a program that not only looked at the utilization levels of the schools, but also looked at the condition of our schools. And that's the combination of that too gave us a score. And that's what led the consultants to kind of pick a list of schools of concern that we really needed to do. Many of our schools are operating at a level below 50%, which means that you basically could have two schools, you know, doing that if they're at less than 50%. You know, it's way underutilized. The peak number that they were striving for was a number that looked, I'm looking for the number real quick. They were looking for something in that 70 to 80% range, and we're talking about schools way under at 50%. And then we have a substantial number of schools that are below 400 enrollment. And those are just, when you look at the combination of things, as you described it, a fiduciary duty to, you know, present the best educational opportunities for our kids, 21st century opportunities. And we need to do a better job with utilization of our schools.
The summary of what y'all doing seems to be somewhere around 8 or 9 different initiatives. The first, as outlined, is that Haynes Academy for Advanced Studies would be relocated to the Grace King campus in Metairie, and Grace King students would be reassigned to attend Bonneville and Riverdale. I know Haynes, part of that school campus, is very old, right?
Well, not just Haynes, but I mean, if you look that studies across the country say that a useful life for a school-type building is about 50 years, and 80% of our schools are 60 years or older. So we're 10 years past the useful life. So, you know, that's, you know, yes, Haynes was one of the things that came up. It was a question of high schools on both the East Bank and the West Bank. It was, we had poor usage, poor utilization on the high schools, so that there was an overabundance of classroom space on both the East Bank and the West Bank. But, you know, the other thing is that, you know, it's quick to focus on the consolidation or closure of schools, but the plan also talks about building 2 brand new schools, larger schools that will be better utilized in the areas that we build them, one on the East Bank and one on the West Bank. So it's not just a closure, it's right size in the district with better schools that fit the educational model for our system.
Right, but I was just going to go through these because a lot of people are asking questions, and I didn't know if there was anything unique about any of those. I mean, I lived right across the street from Haynes for a long, long time, and understand that, you know, other campuses are larger, much younger, and have room for additional buildings, right? And, you know, I know that all of that goes into the consideration. I guess a lot of the consolidation on the West Bank, and probably the West Bank, has been more impacted than the East Bank as a larger percentage of these declining enrollment numbers. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I think there's a fair amount of reorganization and reshuffling on both sides of the river. I don't think that it's unique, but yes, you know, it hits both sides of the river. There also is something, you know, significant with the, you know, some of the West Bank schools.
Yeah. Well, I bring that up only because it's not like y'all really have an option to move east to west or west to east, right? I mean, you know, the transportation costs and the logistics of doing something like that kind of exacerbates whatever the plan would be, correct?
Absolutely. There are limited options because of the river. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you have that same scenario that appears in some of the outlying areas, whether or not that's going to be, you know, the Lafitte area as well as Grand Isle. I know that there's, you know, a lot of questions about what happens there. But when you talk about the cost of running these institutions from afar like that, it's a legitimate consideration as to and overspend in some areas as it relates to others.
There are absolutely some unique challenges, and, you know, you mentioned both of them. I said the schools in the Lafitte area are still recovering from Ida in terms of the FEMA dollars that are being spent to rebuild the Fisher campuses down there. And then Grand Isle, just being Grand Isle, being located so far, you know, south of the rest of the you know, the West Bank of Jefferson Parish, it has some unique challenges. And then, you know, they too are still recovering from Hurricane Ida. So, you know, the consultants, you know, looked at that and they recognized the low utilization rate, you know, due to the recent events. But they also are recommending to the Grand Isle community that we need to come up with possibly some unique approaches involving the community and their rebuilding, and possibly how we staff a school in Grand Isle.
And this consolidation, obviously, with the challenge that you have as it relates to teachers, teacher assistants, support staff, and then just the cost of educating our kids today, it really begs of a consolidation, does it not?
Oh, it does. I said, you know, right now, I said nationally they talk about the teacher shortage, and it's not just a teacher shortage. It's a staffing shortage across many positions in our school system. And so this plan will help us by consolidating schools. We will have more quality certified teachers available to go in the classroom. And it also gives us the ability, if we have quality certified teachers in every classroom, then we have a better focus and a better way to handle curriculum in the classroom. I know that when Dr. Gray and I were on your show last month, you know, we talked about that there were, you know, approximately 150 teacher openings in our school system right now, which means that we either have to have substitutes or hire people who may not be certified teachers. This eliminates that problem for us. You know, by managing the dollars, you know, we can put more dollars in the classroom for quality education. We'll have a quality environment with new schools and renovated schools, and we'll have quality teachers and staff that are well paid.
Yeah. So you guys will, this is up for final approval on April the 5th?
This will be up for final approval on April 5th, correct.
And do we, you know, I mean, this is a very difficult process. I have to commend y'all for getting through this. Obviously, a lot of the legwork was done back in 2017, and I got to imagine a lot of the observations then the details that supported it probably are in worse shape today than they were at that point in time, right?
That was one of the findings of the consultants when they did this. So when MGT and Myers came on board, Dr. Gray and his cabinet had been working on implementing these changes. And we had the pandemic that came, Hurricane Ida that came, that slowed it down. But we weren't starting from ground zero. So the consultants came in, they looked at the data, they conducted the public meetings to have input. They interviewed the staff and the administration. But yes, you know, in some cases, you know, one of the good things that they commented on the school system was that we had not just been sitting idly by over the last 5 years since the last report, that we have been implementing changes where we have already converted 14 elementary and middle schools into a pre-K-8 model, which we feel will be more effective. We've already done 3 facility consolidations. So all of those things allowed our scores to improve slightly, but yet we were still faced with a decrease of just over 2,000 students since the last report. And our utilization rate, unfortunately, decreased by an average 15% since that last report. So in many ways, although there are some positive things, overall, we still need to right size our school system. And this, you know, this report and this evaluation that was presented last night is the next step in that continuing process to right size our school district.
And there's always the challenge of funding, right, Ralph? I mean, I think the public school system is one of the largest beneficiaries of the tax rolls in the parish, which is appropriate. That's how it is throughout the country. But there needs to be an understanding that there may not be many opportunities to go back to the taxpayers for increases.
We have to be very mindful of that. You know, the citizens of Jefferson Parish were very generous a few years ago when they approved a millage to pay our teachers more, to be competitive with the surrounding areas. But again, we have to be wise stewards of the money that the citizens entrust us with so that they feel like we are doing a good job, that we are wise. And that's why it was important to Dr. Gray and the consultants that, you know, we're not coming back to the public and saying, you know, we need 2 new schools and we need you to pay for it. We are going to find the money within the system now to pay for these first 2 schools to show that we are wise stewards of the money.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck to you guys on April the 5th. I've been very impressed with the speed and the diligence in which y'all have addressed this situation. Like, and I shouldn't say speed because obviously this is something that's been going on for a while, and just folks have been focused on it, and now it's time to execute on all that hard work, right?
Absolutely. You know, we've listened to the public, you know, for what they've asked for and what they believe our school system is, and we hope to be able to deliver a school system that is well-suited for our kids moving forward.
Ralph, thank you so much for your time, your insight. Best of luck on April 5th, and we'll check back with you after the meeting. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, Newell. Thanks.
All righty, folks, that's Ralph Brandt, chairman of the Jefferson Parish School Board. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, folks, welcome back. The boss has spoken. So in the interest of supporting the efforts of the Superintendent Woodfork to further strengthen the integrity of the command structure at NOPD, listen to this, to further strengthen the integrity of the command structure at the NOPD and to focus the city's attention on public safety, I am not authorizing any city employee to speak on the city's behalf in these public meetings without my express permission. And she's talking about the public meetings that are being put on by the consent decree monitor that are put on periodically, in which, you know, they have. So this is the boss who is muzzling the leaders of the NOPD to enter into an open and honest and transparent discourse in a public forum with the monitors of the consent decree. So the boss has spoken. I guess next words out of her mouth is that this is a witch hunt, because a lot of what has been revealed, it does not inure to her benefit, right? So let's go back to what you've heard me say many, many times before, that we don't look to political leadership to affect systemic change, because it requires political leadership to consume political capital. And this is completely emblematic of an action being taken because of inaction relative to a number of issues that need to be addressed within the NOPD in the first 4 years of her administration that have come home to roost at the beginning of this second term of her administration, meaning Mayor LaToya, the boss Cantrell, and her lack of desire to consume political capital. So what we're going to do is we'll muzzle the organization because we didn't get our way. And she even points that out in this release. I went back there in August, and the boss spoke, and the boss said, all things are good on the Western Front. We're good. We're golden. You need to relax these measures on us. Meanwhile, in the backdrop of this theatrical production that she was putting on for the court and then flew up to D.C., first class, by the way, and visited with the federal officials up there in order to try and circumvent a federal judge who is appointed for life and doesn't answer to any of these people. And when it comes to, you know, when is going to be the appropriate time to end this, I doubt very seriously that a call from D.C. is going to move any federal judge. That's not how it works. That's why they're appointed for life, so they're free of any political intrusion, bureaucratic intrusion, or otherwise. These are basic lessons in civics, right? You know, I mean, I don't understand quite what the strategy was here, but the boss knew better. So she embarked upon that strategy, and now it's come home to haunt her. You know, when we hear the revelation that the court monitor had to interject himself as it related to a move by the LaToya Cantrell administration, and we still don't know who, because no one's stepping up, no one's really being honest, no one really wants to talk about this, we want to hide this away, that tried to bring about a deal to have Jeffrey Vapi reassigned to the mayor's security detail, because Vapi brings things to the job that no other security individual is able to bring, obviously. I mean, it's the only thing I could think about, the only reason to support, and I'm not sure what it is. Maybe he's great at shooting a gun. Maybe, you know, as they go on their walks in the French Quarter, there's a part of his walk or a sachet that that works for the mayor? I'm not sure. But he's the, you know, we're going to disrupt an investigation. We're going to call it a witch hunt. We're going to take all of these measures for the sake of one officer being assigned to a security detail. Now think about that for a moment. We will risk the reputation of an organization, the reputation of a city administration. We'll risk all of that for the sake of one officer within the NOPD. We will tell Judge Susie Morgan to take a long walk on a short pier that we're not going to participate in these public hearings, and I suspect, purely conjecture on my part, given that this is all about VAPI because of the federal monitor stepping in, saying that he had to disrupt this deal to bring VAPI back onto her security detail. So this will not, and this is actually, this mayor is trying to get us to believe that this is in interest of supporting the efforts of the superintendent. Now, I really believe that this warrants Judge Morgan summoning both the mayor and the superintendent to find out exactly whether or not this is something that the superintendent requested, and whether or not the superintendent believes that this is an onerous requirement of the consent decree. Now, keep in mind, if this superintendent keeps the job and she gets the permanent position, she could make somewhere of $100,000 more than she's making right now. And we have to wonder, what skill set, what is she bringing to warrant that? Whether or not this is all, you know, organically grown experience that she has within one single or singular organization? Are we bringing experience set from other organizations? No. But one has to wonder how this is going to play itself out. So I hope that Judge Morgan summons them to court. Maybe ask that the mayor appear then at these public meetings. It'd be nice if the mayor went to a council meeting for once and answered questions. We're not doing that either, right? We just completely go underground. We'll go everywhere around the country and the world to talk about climate change, to talk about managing water. But we don't go anywhere to talk about managing our own, or lack thereof, emotional intelligence, and more importantly, conduct. We don't go anywhere on that. We do nothing. Interesting. We'll be right back. We'll see what Scoot has coming your way. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Scoot's up next. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, you know, every time the mayor issues a statement, there's usually something to talk about. So we'll talk a little bit about a little bit about that. I mean, really, seriously, I'm going to give my opinion here, and I'm going to do it in my show as well. You know, she hasn't been convicted of anything. You know, there's investigations going on, but you can't really technically call her a crook. But in my opinion, she is a bully. And I mean, legally, I can say, in my opinion, she's a bully. And I just don't know that there's any way to get around that. And she continues to do things to double down on showing that she's a bully. And the last two Fridays, I've gotten texts and phone calls from people. Oh, Mayor Cantrell's here. She's wearing a really bright neon dress, and she's at Bayou Beer Garden here. Or she's over here at the Parkway Tavern at the bar drinking. Look, the mayor can go out and drink. I mean, that's fine. She can go out and have a good time. I'm not criticizing that. But, you know, it seems like she's just become very, very bolden, and she's changing after the recall failed, but not for the better, it appears.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The boss has spoken, though.
Yeah, she is, in my opinion, a bully. Hey, we'll update a little bit on the shooter in the Nashville shooting, and also the controversy. We'll talk about the controversy over the Michelangelo statue. David, oh my gosh, you can see his little pee-pee. And so some people are freaked out over that.
I've seen it live in the
Wow. I mean, it's not like you could hang laundry on it or anything. I mean, it's, you know, not that big a deal.
Only in true Scoot fashion can we talk about the Statue of David. He's up next. Stay tuned, folks. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see you again in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.